So if you want to turn to Colossians chapter 1, we'll be reading from, well, we'll read from verse 9, but we're focusing on verse 12 to 14 of Colossians chapter 1. So Colossians 1, reading from verse 9, says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Let me just ask that God would bless the reading of his word to us. And I just want to start by asking you a question. What is it that makes you most happy in life? Maybe it's spending time with friends and family, going on holiday with them, discovering new places. Maybe it's now this weekend that the football started up, you're maybe a bit happier than normal. But for me, it's spending time around good food, and a cup of coffee is always going to be a winner with good company for me. But Paul here in this letter to the Colossians, he's moved. Last week we looked in verse 9 to 11 about how he prayed for the believers at Colossia. He wanted to remind them just of the strength that is theirs through Christ and how he encouraged them to walk in a way that was worthy of the Lord, totally controlled by his will for them. And tonight he moves on from praying for the believers to now wanting to encourage them to move their sights on Christ. Because this is such an essential element for our prayer life, and I hope that it's a challenge to us tonight. Because so often with our prayers, we can be so self-centered, can't we? We can just pray for the things that we need. We can pray for the situations that are around us and so often forget who our God is. We can just become so self-centered with our prayers, and it's good to pray. God asks us to bring our requests to him. I'm not discouraging that. But I just want to hope that tonight is an encouragement for us believers as we look at what we can praise God for in our prayers. And this is what Paul is wanting to remind the believers at Colossae of, all that they can praise their God for in their prayers. Hopefully tonight will be a bit of a realignment for us in our priorities, in our prayer. Hopefully we will take our eyes off ourselves every now and again and put them on Christ throughout our prayers. So this is what Paul is seeking to do through this passage. He is seeking to take our sights off ourselves and place it on Christ. Because so often we can be so consumed with our circumstances, with the doubt that is around us. We can forget who our God is in the midst of that. And perhaps you're maybe even facing exam results in the next couple of weeks, and it's an anxious time for you. You don't know what you're going to be doing, whether it's school or university or what it's going to be. But through praising our God through our prayers, hopefully you'll be encouraged to trust him through that, through whatever circumstance that it is. And in the Paul's prayer here, we want to note three words that really stand out to us, three words that give us great cause to praise our Saviour. Firstly, we want to look at the word inheritance that he uses. Then we want to look at how we've been delivered, and we've been transferred. Those are the three words that we want to look at. So firstly, we want to look at the inheritance that is ours as believers. If we were to truly look at every aspect of the inheritance that is ahead of us as believers, we would be here for a long time. There's great blessings that are there for the believer. But Paul, he uses this word in verse 12. If you look, he says, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you." Qualified is in the present tense, so it means that we receive our inheritance today. Of course, it comes to its fruition, it comes to its completion in the day when we are with Christ in glory in heaven. But there is aspects of our inheritance that we enjoy today if we are saved. And that's what we want to look at. We want to look at what has qualified us and what we can enjoy today to be able to sustain us through whatever trial or whatever situation is in our way. And I'm very conscious that last week we ended in the middle of a sentence. If you look in verse 12, it's a continuation on from verse 11. We were looking at how we were strengthened in God and how through that strength we can consider all trials with joy. But here we see then how it's only through giving thanks to the Father, it's only through acknowledging who He is that we can do that. And so we should see the relevance that this week should have upon us, considering all trials with joy. It's only through an accurate knowledge of who our God is. But what I want to look at here in our inheritance that we enjoy today is found within that word. He says, giving thanks to the Father. And we want to look at how we've inherited a Father. And there's a great blessing in this for the believer. Because an essential element in our prayers of praise to our God is acknowledging who He is and acknowledging our position before Him. We are helpless children coming before a Father who is loving and who longs to give us whatever we need. And that's not always what we want. So often God doesn't give us what we think we need because we're praying for what we want. But He promises that He will give us what we need to be able to sustain us through what we need. So when we get this into our head, when we get that we are coming before a Father who loves us, we will be praying as we ought. So often we long to come to God and we long to tell Him maybe the things that we have done. We long to maybe brag about what we feel like has been good in our lives. We maybe come to Him as overprivileged children. But this shouldn't be the case. In our prayer life, we should acknowledge our position before Him. We are children who need Him. We need Him to strengthen us, as it says in verse 11. And it's only through coming to Him as a child who needs His help that we will be strengthened in the way that we should be as believers. And it's only when we receive His strength that we will be able to face our trials, whatever they may be, with joy. So rather than doubting whether God really cares for you, whether sometimes we can forget who He is through our trials, we need to praise our God. We need to come before Him and recognize who He is. He is our Father who loves us and cares for us. And we get to enjoy that today. This isn't something that we just enjoy when we enter heaven. This is something that is on display for the believer today. They can enjoy this relationship with their Father. And not only do we need to acknowledge our position, and not only is that how we can praise God through our prayers, but also when looking at this word Father, it not only points to our position, but also our relationship with Him. Because this reminds us that it's a personal relationship that we enjoy with Him. This is something that we've inherited, a personal relationship with our Father. Because before, when we weren't believers, God was our judge. A judge who was willing to be merciful to us if we repent and if we long to honour Him and believe and trust in Him. But He was a judge nonetheless. And one of God's great characteristics is that He is perfectly just. And what that means is that He must punish sin. We were once, when we weren't believers, we were following after our own sinful desires. We had no knowledge of Him. We didn't want to please Him. We wanted to please ourselves. And He must punish that sin because He is just. And only He can do that because He is our judge. But now, if we are a believer, it's a very different relationship that we enjoy with Him. Through His mercy, we now enjoy that close relationship with our Father. He loves us and He has done all that we would ever need to be able to enjoy this relationship with Him. Because it's in His mercy that we talked about. He is a merciful judge, and it was because of His mercy that we can enjoy this relationship with Him. Because we know that Scripture tells us that it was in Him sending His Son that lived that perfect life for us. He didn't sin, He didn't do anything to follow our man-made sinful desire. But He lived that perfect life. And it's only through trusting in Him that we can enjoy this relationship with Him. And changing that dynamic from a guilty offender and a judge to now a dependent child upon a loving Father. And we need to remember that tonight. If you're a believer tonight, this is something that you can praise your God for. This is something that we need to be reminded of. Because if we were depending upon ourselves, if we were depending upon our own works, our own gifts, we wouldn't get very far. It's only through trusting in Christ that we can enjoy this relationship with him. And you don't need to doubt God through whatever circumstance you're in. Because I know that so often we can take our eyes off him. We can be so focused on the things that are around us. But here we see that Paul is reminding us that we need to have our eyes fixed upon Christ, our loving Father who wants to give us what we need to be able to be strengthened and endure these trials with joy. Because we know that it's through these trials that he wants to make us more like him and press on to holiness as believers. So you need to stop relying on yourself, stop relying on your own strength if you're a believer tonight, because you have a resource that is so much stronger than yourself in Christ. And how can we be sure that we have received this inheritance? Well, God in his grace has given us a guarantee that assures us of this. If you flick back a couple of pages in your Bibles to Ephesians 1, in Ephesians 1, it's written by Paul, and he further comments on this gift that assures us of the inheritance that is ours. Because that gift is the Holy Spirit, that is what guarantees us of the inheritance that is ours. So in Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14, Paul says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." And I don't know if your Bible's like mine, maybe it has footnotes in it. In mine, there's a footnote beside the word guarantee in verse 14. And if you look down, hopefully yours is the same as mine, and it says, "or down payment." That's another what this word translates to today. That word guarantee could be replaced with down payment. So when us receiving the Holy Spirit, that is the down payment of the inheritance that is to come in heaven. We can be assured that we have this great inheritance to look forward to if we know that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And how do we know then that the Holy Spirit is inside of us? Well, that's a good question. It's something that unfortunately is overlooked by many believers today. I think the Holy Spirit's the least talked about attribute or person of God. But he is very real. One evidence that would suggest that you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you is simply that you can understand who God is. Often we pray that the Spirit would help us in our understanding, or the Spirit would move inside of us and help us to understand what we are reading or what we are hearing. And it's because God is so much higher than us, he's so much, his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are above our thoughts. It's impossible for us to understand him without the help of the Spirit. So tonight, if you're a believer and if you know your God, if you can understand through Scripture who your God is through the help of the Spirit, you know that you have that inheritance waiting for you. And this is something that we don't even have to wait, as I said, until we are in heaven to be thankful for. It's something that we can be thankful for today. We have received the down payment of that inheritance, and it's the Holy Spirit. So this evening we need to be reminded of that inheritance that is ours in Christ, because it's a glorious one. Have you forgotten it? When uncertainty comes your way, do you so often take your eyes off your God? We're so good at doubting. We're so good at being so consumed with what is in our lives and being consumed with the battles that we are facing that we so often forget our Savior. And we so often forget the great inheritance and the things that he has done for us. But tonight you need to be reminded of the inheritance that is yours in Christ through the Father. We need to be thankful that we have the Spirit inside of us, enabling us to understand the person of God, enabling us to understand the things in the Scriptures. And we need to thank him for that relationship that we enjoy with him. He is not our judge if we are believers. We have moved from being guilty offender to judge to now being dependent children upon a loving Father. And it's all because of all that he has done, not anything inside of us. So the second word that we want to look at through that Paul mentions in his prayer is deliverance. We see that in verse 12, he says, "Giving thanks to the Father who qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light, And he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And the word delivered here means to bring to oneself. And that's significant because it shows that in that moment of salvation, when we are trusting in Christ, it's not a process. A rescue mission hasn't just begun. Christ hasn't started to bring us to himself. It's been completed. He has brought us to himself. We are his. And this is so significant for us because if we are believers tonight, we are secured in his hands. It's not in our hands to lose our salvation. John MacArthur once said a really simple quote that I really like. If we could lose our salvation, we would. And that's simple and it's the truth of the matter. If it was in our hands, if we were depending upon our loyalty, our gifts, we would have lost our salvation already. We're so fickle as humans, aren't we? James writes in his letter, he says how so often we can praise God and then with the same mouth we can curse our brother. And this shouldn't be the case. But it's because we are fickle and because our attentions drift from God so often, don't they, onto what pleases us. But this word deliverance that shows that God brought us to himself shows us that our salvation is secure in Christ because it's not in our hands, it's in his. He immediately brought us to himself. And perhaps we doubt whether we've truly experienced that deliverance that we're talking about here. Because often, rather than living a life that is pleasing to God, one that exemplifies that new man that we are told that we are in Scripture, so often it's our sinful nature that comes to the surface, isn't it? So often we please ourselves with our lives with no thought for who God is. And then we wonder whether we truly have experienced that deliverance that we are talking about here. Well, one commentator notes that believers don't need deliverance from sin. They simply need to act as those who have been delivered. And what that means is that believers, in light of what we've just read here, have been brought to Christ. They have already experienced complete deliverance from their sins. They don't need to face the consequences of it or the guilt that comes along with that. We know that we have been forgiven totally and completely and brought to Christ. We just need to pray for the strength that was being talked about there in verse 11 that is ours in Christ. That strength that allows us to live in a way that is pleasing to God and not pleasing ourselves. But what does this mean for you, this whole area of deliverance? I think young believers in particular, this is perhaps one of the greatest doubts and one of the greatest battles that they face in their early Christian life. I know for me personally, I've prayed the believer's prayer when I was young more times than I can count. But maybe you're older in the church and you're maybe recently retired, or maybe you've been retired a long time and you want to know how best to use your time. Well, what better way than to encourage the young believers that we have in this church? You've had more experience, more time to experience that deliverance that is yours. You have battled with those doubts that they are currently facing. And you've come out the other side, thankfully. Well, why don't you encourage them that they don't need to face these battles because they know, because you know the same Savior that they are trusting in? Because as long as they are doubting, they aren't growing in the way that we know that they should be. It's a battle that we face as young believers, and we have so many young, gifted Christians in our church, don't we? We have so many who have served so well in the Holy Bible Club. We've even seen so many of them serving for the first time. And there are so many of them involved in ministry, even this week at Mullerton House and in other areas as well, in other ministries throughout the summer. But if you look with me back to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul is giving us the reason why he prays for the Colossian believers and why he is so thankful for them. He says in verse 4, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints." And we looked at this word love, if you remember, and we said how this wasn't just some nice warm fuzzy feeling that they have towards each other. This was something that cared, it was active, it was a real doing word that they did for one another. They loved and they cared for one another. They built one another up in their faith. This is what we must be marked by, just like the Colossians. We need to learn from them here. We need to spend time with one another, young with old. We must learn from each other. We must inspire one another to go on in that journey of Christ-likeness, constantly encouraging and reminding ourselves to praise God for all that he has done for us, because there's so much that we can be so thankful for no matter what our circumstances. We can always take our eyes off ourselves and praise God for that deliverance that is ours. But what is it that we've been delivered from? Paul says here that we've been delivered from the domain of darkness. And this is the same word that Jesus used to describe the powers of Satan that were at play whenever he in his arrest before he was facing the cross. And that's what we've been saved from. We've been delivered from the powers of Satan, from the powers of our sin, from the destruction that comes along with that. We can praise Christ for delivering us from crushing our greatest enemy. We don't ever need to face the consequences, the destruction that our sin brings on our lives because of Christ, because of his deliverance on our behalf on the cross. So tonight, let's be so cautious to constantly be thankful for this. Wherever we are, maybe we're with our kids at home, let's model that in their lives. Let's take any opportunity that we have to be thankful as believers for all that Christ has done for us in delivering us from our sins, that we will never need to face the consequences of our sins. And the best way that you can do that is by modeling it in front of them, whether it's through something as simple as praying before your dinner times and taking that as a time to still thank God for all that he has done for you, not only in giving you this blessing of food, but in what he has done in delivering you from the consequences and the destruction that your sin brings upon your life. So the final word that we want to look at in Paul's prayer is transference, or he says we have been transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. This is the climax of what Paul is praying and praising our God for in this prayer, that we have been transferred from this domain of darkness, from this domain of Satan, following our own sinful desires, into now this kingdom of his beloved Son. And at first, maybe Paul is talking about heaven. He's talking about what we enjoy as we get the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. But I don't think this is what Paul is talking about. This is very much all in the present tense. So kingdom simply refers to a group of people who long to serve a common king. So what Paul is referring to in us being transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son is simply that we have been now transferred from serving ourselves, from following our own sinful desires, to now seeking to serve and follow Christ with our lives. We have been transferred from following and searching after ourselves to following Christ. What a blessing that is. And it's only through Christ's work. It's not through us. There's nothing within us that would desire to do this. But it's because of Christ working in us. It's that Spirit that we have been inherited that allows us to be able to continue to follow Christ. And there's a weighty responsibility on the believer when we truly recognize this, and when we truly realize that we have been transferred into this kingdom of his beloved Son. You realize that there's a responsibility that comes along with that, because we need to live like those who have been transferred, those who are citizens of that kingdom. We must daily battle against our sin. We must daily seek to follow Christ with our lives. And how are we to do that? Well, we looked at it in verse 11. We said how we must be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. It's through Christ that we can do this. But we must be constantly coming before him, asking him to sustain us with a strength that only he can offer. Because we look in, even in verse 14, it says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And the word that's used for redemption here is very close to what we use for emancipation today, which still isn't that commonly used. But it just shows that we have been freed, that Christ has set us free. It took someone to come in and to set us free from our sinful desires and gave us desires to follow Christ instead of ourselves. See, we've been freed from the guilt and the weight of our sin, as we've already mentioned, to follow Christ. And it's because of this word redemption that we've been freed by Christ. We're not bound to the chains of our sin anymore. We can throw them aside and run that race with endurance by being sustained by our Father who loves us. We read at the start of the service Psalm 103, a great psalm, one that I really love, one that really helps us to focus on who our God is and all that he has done for us. And in verse 12 of that psalm, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. And that's a great truth for a Christian tonight, isn't it? It's because of Christ that gave us those desires to be able to throw aside our sin and follow after him. That if Christ were to take our sin and go to the west and we were to run to the east, we would never see it again. We would never come into contact with that sin again. But we must pray that we would be strengthened and enabled to go that way, to flee from our sin, to slay that sin and follow after Christ. So tonight there's much truth to be thankful for. There's much that we must be praising Christ for through our prayers. Because Christ's death, it paid the price to redeem us. And because of that, God forgave us our sins. So God granted us this inheritance of his, this relationship with the Father, and which is guaranteed by the gift of his Holy Spirit living inside of us. And then he made us to be subjects of his kingdom. People who long to praise him, people who long to serve him with their lives, but only through the strength that is given to us through our loving Heavenly Father. And these are great truths that any believer tonight can claim of their Father. These are truths that we can all be reminding each other of. And I pray that as we, this is the end of our studies in Colossians, I pray that we want to be that church in Colossia that Paul is so thankful for, one that has love for all the saints, one that is marked by all these same attributes that the Colossian church is marked by. But in order to do this, we must ask God to give us the desires that we need. We must ask him to be able to encourage those around us, encourage those young believers and young believers alike, encourage those who are our elders in the church. Because there's much benefit to being involved in a local church. We must encourage one another and spur one another on into our journey towards Christ-likeness, because we know that that, as we have looked at, that that is God's will for our lives. It's not that specific individual will of what we're going to do with our lives, who we're going to marry, what we're going to do. It's that will of Christ-likeness, that will of sanctification as we looked at. God's will for each and every one of us is to be made holy. And we can spur one another on to that if we aspire to be like that church at Colossae. But it's only through the strengthening of our Father that we can do that. And tonight, maybe you're not a Christian, maybe you know the things of God, maybe you know your Bible well, but you can't profess to know this of your Savior, of Christ. He has not been your Savior. Maybe you're still standing in that position of him being your judge and you being that guilty offender. Well, tonight, here we have been able to see, we've been able to see through the lens of Scripture just all that our God is to us if we are believers. And that is all available to you tonight, if only you would trust. That's all you need to do. It's all been done for you. Christ will bring you to himself tonight instantly if you were to trust in him. And that is our prayer, that you would do that tonight. And if you're uncertain, would you just talk to someone, not leave with any questions tonight? So these are truths that we can always be praising our Savior for. These are truths that we must be conscious to be thankful for in our Savior, and we must model it and so that we can encourage one another to do the same.